Ah, yes, where has the year gone to, folks? Today, the last day of June 2014. Are you kidding me? Let's play some World Cup soccer, talk about that, but we got some baseball guys in the studio this morning. How about let's play two? The Newark Pilots are in town, and I got Mike Armstrong, the coach, along with longtime buddy of mine, Brian Connell, general manager of the Newark Pilots baseball franchise. And good morning, everybody. It's the Dog with you on a Monday, and it's going to be a warm week. We're talking mid-80s today, but how about tomorrow? 93, 94, are you serious? The Dog will be by an air conditioner all day long. No, I'm just kidding. It is going to be hot. But we welcome our friends in from Newark, Mike Armstrong. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Dog.
Along with Brian. Brian, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Mike, let's talk about the season thus far. You're 11-10, coming off a loss last night. Thanks for coming in. You guys got in about 1:30 this morning, and that's a little dedication to get down to the studios at 9 o'clock. Talk about the team. You're 11-10. You're on a kind of a little bit of losing mark right now, but you were telling me before we went on the air you're going to turn this around. So your views of the team thus far.
Yeah, so far, certainly a very talented team this year. Last year we had a very talented team as well. I think this year a bit more talent overall. But,
excuse me.
really great group of guys. They really seem to enjoy their time together at the field and being in Newark and being in the league itself. They're really working hard, getting after it every day for early work, trying to make themselves better but also help out the team. So that really encourages me. Even though we're hitting a tough skid here, that they're working hard to stay ahead of the curve and try and work out of it. But we battle. We've had a lot of comebacks. Whether we've fallen a little short or not, we've had a lot of comebacks, and the guys don't really give in. So that's a good sign, I think, as we go down the stretch.
And for our viewers that are checking us out for the first time, I've been bragging about Newark and Colburn Park and Brian and his staff and the Leslie and Bob Ullman, who are good friends of mine, the owners of that franchise. There's certainly no doubt in my mind as I approach the big 7-0 in a few months, maybe 8 or 9 months, it's a perfect spot to go watch a baseball game. Myself and Jimmy have had the opportunity. We were broadcasting some of the games a year or so ago. It is a perfect place to attend a game. Brian and his team are very engaging, very courteous. They make you feel at home. They got things for the kids. They have a great concession stand. The ballpark is clean. The field is always well manicured. I'm telling you, folks, you want to watch baseball, and I urge you to get out and support your baseball teams. Take a trek over to Newark. It's not that big of a deal, not that big of a drive. Go into Lyons, take that left-hand turn at the bottom of the hill there, and head out. It's about 4 or 5 miles, right-hand side, up the hill. It's truly a good thing to do. I'm trying to get there this week. If not, I got friends. We're going to go definitely next week. But, Brian, topping that off, we've been friends a long time since we met each other a few years ago, but what you do in your franchise, in my view, is, and I've been around, this Dog's not young anymore, is something that is spectacular because you not only give the fans an opportunity to come, you make them feel at home as part of the team, and that's impressive.
I appreciate that. You know, I think that's an important part of what we do in Newark, is making a great experience for, you know, all the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fun, affordable, family-friendly place, so...
And, you know, you've been marred with some tough weather. It's typical summer weather, spring, summer. And you're looking at tomorrow. You got a game tomorrow, we hope. It's going to be in the mid-90s, your chance of major thunderstorms, you know. So you got to kind of, you know, shuffle the cards and see what it takes you. Every day is a new thrill, right?
That's exactly right, yeah.
But one thing is I always tell the story, and, again, I urge you to check out Newark. And, again, I'm not saying not to go to Geneva, not to go to other places to watch baseball. But if you really want to go... I always look at it this way. I use a line when people ask me about watching baseball in the area. I always say Newark Colburn Park is a minor league team with a major league park. And that's really, truly the way I feel about it. Because I always remember pulling up that hill into the ballpark. And I always bring this up. The signage was always spectacular to me. I'm anal about stuff like this. I didn't see anything marred. I didn't see anything that was not painted correctly. It just impressed me. And it takes a lot to impress me. But I was impressed, and I said, wow, these people even make sure the signage is looking neat. And that's something that maybe most people, Brian and Mike, don't look at, but I do. And I think it's great to have you guys facilitate a park that presents itself when you pull in there.
Yeah, I think that's another key thing. Yeah, you know, is appearance of the place.
Appearance.
You know, it makes you feel like you're welcome into exactly. a nice ballpark, and you know, you show up and things aren't kept up nice.
That's right.
People don't want to come.
So. Exactly. A lot of the little things too. You know, like the giant American flag in center field with the lights on it, the beautiful scoreboard, the concessions, and activities. It's a
classy operation.
You know, you go to a Syracuse or Rochester game. There's a lot of activities in between innings for kids and families too. So I mean, you can't go wrong if you want to bring a couple kids to a ballpark. They're going to have a great time.
Well, our friend Sandy and Gene Lopez, we brought them last year a couple of times, and they're dying to come back. We're trying to get the schedule figured out, but they'll be back with us, me and Mary, and we're looking forward to spending some time there. And Mike pointing out, it's a perfect game, collegiate baseball league. These kids come from all over the country, and I'm certainly just following up what I just said. They got to be appreciative of what Newark presents them with a nice ballpark.
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, when I recruit the players and speak with their coaches in the fall and wintertime, I tell them that you know, they're going to have the privilege to play on the best field in New York State besides Yankee Stadium and Citi Field.
Exactly.
Which is essentially made up by me, but 100% true after being around college baseball in New York State for the last 2 to 4 years and playing at a lot of venues, including Frontier Field. And the ballpark in Syracuse, you know, as a playing surface and as an atmosphere, Newark doesn't get any better. And I can say from experience over the last few years when that place fills up and we can get some good followers in there, it's an exciting environment. And, you know, when you score a couple runs and the fans get going, it's pretty exciting. So I know that the guys appreciate it, that we have some really loyal fans that come out to basically every game. Yep. Even some road games, and you know, they love to get to know the fans and the people around here.
And I need not say much about the Almonds. They're certainly engaged. They're most of the games, if not all of the home games, if they can make it, obviously. And I tell the story when I first met Leslie, big Atlanta Brave fan, by the way. We'll throw that kudos in for her. But, you know, I heard this woman screaming at the umpire one day, and I was in the broadcast booth getting ready to go on the air. And I couldn't figure out who that was. I may have asked Brian or somebody in the booth, who's that lady? She's Leslie Ullman. She's one of the owners. I go, wow. But she's engaged in every pitch and every scenario, and that was interesting and refreshing. And, of course, and Bob's not, of course, against the idea of yelling a little bit himself, so I kind of like that.
They're very involved.
They're into it.
They love what they're doing here, and they want it to be a great experience for everyone, and, you know, but it shows their passion for what they're doing. Sounds great.
Exactly. Well, the Newark Pilots, of course, I need not express any views on my part. They've certainly got to check it out. Don't just take my word for it. You go over to Newark, and you'll be met by Brian's team as they walk into the stadium. It's quite an evening, and it's just something you don't mind spending a few bucks to see, and it's certainly well worth the bargain of what you're spending. We're going to get more details and talk a little bit about the team and have Mike talk a little bit about some of the players that have really stood out so far through 21 games. We're also going to go off the tracks and move away from Newark and talk about, are you serious? Countries are ready to kill each other. This World Cup's got me enthused. And I got to be honest with you, folks. I have never really been a big soccer fan. I don't know. I got to be honest. And this is an honest show that I try to have here. I guess I never could figure out why everybody's enthused about running up and down a field, heading this volleyball and, I mean, this ball and all of a sudden soccer ball. And I guess I couldn't figure out why there's no scoring, you know. And, of course, you know, they get one goal, they go ballistic for like 30 minutes. I mean, I'm getting enthused. My wife and me are scheduling tomorrow, Jimmy, to block 4 o'clock on. We're blocking it at our apartment.
Block it. It's the USA. I mean, this is unprecedented.
We're blocking it.
Yeah, we're ready to.
I normally would be at Walmart tomorrow, but I'm going to be home watching the World Cup. I mean, these countries are literally crazy. I mean, they're ready to kill the coach if they lose, the whole country.
It's pretty big. It's unbelievable. Only every 4 years.
But I got to tell you something. Billions of people are involved in this.
Sure.
Billions, not millions. It's staggering. Yes, they even got me enthused about the World Cup. Somebody wanted me to do something tomorrow afternoon, and I said, Tuesday. Nope, my wife yelled in from the other room. We're watching World Cup soccer, go USA.
USA-Belgium.
4 o'clock, pregame comes down to 3, but I don't care about that. I want action, baby. It's pretty scary. I'm on the bandwagon, World Cup style, and we're going to talk about that. Talk about some Major League Baseball and a few other comments coming up here on Weber this week. Good morning to you. It's a beautiful Monday morning. We'll take a break and hear from our great sponsors that make this show possible.
Eagle Lake National Bank, Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of this show for over 30 years. PA Liquor, Seneca Falls, Amy Padula and her great team will find that right spirit for you every time. Tell Amy the dog sent you. Steve Wadhams, Wadhams Enterprises, your employer of choice, proud supporter of this show and local athletics. Bob and Leslie Ullman, owners of the Ullman Theater, and Lions as well as the Newark Pilots, a minor league baseball team with a major league ballpark. Lizard's Tailgater Lounge, Waterloo, best mott sticks around where you can enjoy a drink and some laughs. SenecaFallsCountryClub.com, awesome 18-hole layout offering a 12-month payment plan, home of the toughest par 4 in central New York. Wilson Press, WPress.com, Seneca Falls. Rich Rickey, my good friend, and his team can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. Rich Rickey, Wilson Press, a fine sponsor of Weber This Week.
Oh, top of the morning, everybody. And by the way, before you hear about it on the street, I do play golf at Seneca Falls Country Club, a great sponsor of our show, obviously. And I see Jimmy there getting ready to play when I come in to play on the weekends. And by the way, before you hear it at your coffee shop or at the local bar or local restaurant, Brad Jones and myself and John King play a lot of golf together. We sometimes have a fourth, but usually the three of us are so ridiculous on a golf course, nobody else wants to play with us. But yesterday, if you didn't hear it, I got to tell you, I was three up with Brad Jones. We play match play. We have a little, I think we play a 10-5 match, which $10 on the original bet. And then if you close the person out, like if you're up three holes with only two to go, then the press kicks in, you got a chance to win another five, or that person has a chance to cut your losses from 10 to 5. I had him three down yesterday with three to play. I hit a huge drive on 16, and I took a bogey. He chips in for three, which is phenomenal.
Wow.
Chipped in for three, okay? And then on 17, I hit the tree off the tee. I always hit that tree to the left. Jimmy, we got to get that taken down. I can't get by that tree on the left-hand side over the pond. And I whack it over to the middle of 13. I wedge it in about 20 feet, miss the putt. He chips up to about a foot and a half. He wins that hole. 18, I hit a good drive. Then I hit my second shot, hit the Christmas tree on the right-hand side, Jimbo. Couldn't find the ball.
Well, that sounds like a big-time choke.
Big-time dog choke.
A lot of trees.
Oh, baby. So, before you hear it from Brad, he's going to tell everybody he sees that he dominated me with three to play. The good news is I didn't lose any money. The bad news is I should have won money. So, but kudos to Brad for playing outstanding golf. Okay, Brad, there's your PR this morning. The dog chokes. Speaking of sending out kudos to people before we get back to Mike and Brian, my nephew, let's talk about fishing. I've never been a fisherman either. Jimmy, you like to fish? Are you a fish?
It's time you could be golfing.
Okay, that's right. Well, you know, there's a lot of fishing, as Mike and Brian will attest. I'm sure they have friends that like to fish, and some of them like to fish for competition, for dollars and big-time purses. My nephew, Steve Kroll, catch that name, Steve Kroll lives in Phelps with Amanda and his bouncing baby boy. This kid is phenomenal. He is involved in more fishing derbies, competitions, contests, whatever you call. There's 124 boats. I think they refer it was 124 boats went out fishing over the weekend, and Steve won again. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
What lake? Where were they?
I believe it was Cayuga. I'm not sure, though. He came in first, and he made some cash, I'm sure. He didn't tell me how much, but he made some good money. My point is, Steve Kroll is synonymous in winning fishing competitions. So kudos to my nephew. By the way, he is my nephew, so I'm giving him a little praise this morning. Outstanding. Not only thing, one thing to throw your, throw it in the water and hope you get a fish. How about playing for money and fishing for money and winning over 123 other boats? That's impressive. So kudos to my nephew, Steve Kroll, this morning, who lives in Phelps, New York. And if you see Steve, tell him his uncle said hi. Okay, let's talk about Newark. Mike and Brian, of course, Mike Armstrong, the coach, and Brian Connell, general manager, in with us this morning on the show. Mike, as you look at the team, I know we don't have time to go through every single player. Talk a little bit about some of the pitchers that have stood out for you and some of the hitters that have impressed you thus far.
Yeah, no problem. Obviously, as you said, there's a lot of guys I'd love to talk about.
Sure.
But the first few that come to mind is – On the mound, we have a starting pitcher named Michael Springer. He's from Brigham Young University out in Utah, and he's done a great job. He's probably the number one in our rotation right now. He'll be matched up against Watertown and Mohawk and teams like that that are also at the top of the division and we're all battling with. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's going to showcase a good fastball, living in the low 90s, and he's going to throw a nice breaking ball, and he can use both sides of the plate and keep hitters off balance. So we're really hoping that he'll be big for us down the stretch and continue to play a large role. Also, Robert Robbins from Stevens Institute of Technology, which is a small school in Hoboken, New Jersey. He's done a real good job. He got roughed up a little bit last night, but part of it was a little bit of bad luck. A couple bleeders, but he was just a little wild last night. But again, he's going to throw the ball in the 90s. He's got a nice breaking ball, and you know, he's at the top of our rotation too. And then out of the bullpen, we have a couple really good arms. Big right-hander from Houston Baptist. He's going to throw the ball very hard as well. He's 6 foot six, 220 pounds, big country strong guy. And he does a real good job. He throws a split finger that really drops off the table. So he's good for later innings. And then from Cortland State University, we have Travis Latar. And he's done a great job in every opportunity. The last few games we haven't needed a closer, unfortunately. But he's pretty much a shutdown type of guy when he comes in. Lives real low in the zone and throws hard, and he's from Canada. So
so the 6'6 guy that throws 90 is not the closer. He's set up.
Yeah, he's set up. Wow. He's good for a couple inning stretch, so he's good to kind of bridge the gap. Nice. If our starter needs to come out a little early. But then, you know, there's four or five other guys that have done a great job, good middle to late game relievers. And with the amount of games that we play, as you know, we have to have quite a stable of relief pitchers, whether things are going good or going bad. Guys get sore. And
that's the best thing, Doug, about, you know, the Pilots. A lot of people don't understand is that these kids are coming from big-time colleges like BYU, you know, to come play the summer in Newark. So you can check them out, and then, you know, next year you're watching the College World Series on ESPN, you're going to see some of these kids. Matter of fact, some of your guys are late arrivals when they make runs in the postseason for their schools.
Yeah, definitely. We had two guys this year, well, more than that, but two from Division I, one from Kentucky who was in the regionals, and then one from Maryland who was in the super regionals. So, you know, both those guys, if you're watching Maryland in the super regionals, you saw Tim Lewis on TV playing left field for Maryland.
And That's awesome.
Dorian Hairston from Kentucky wasn't a starter, but he was kind of a fourth outfielder, so he was in there a lot for defense. And you know, both guys were looking forward to helping us down the stretch.
How about some of the batters that get up in the infielders and the outfielders as far as the ability to hit the ball? Who stands out in your mind so far?
Yeah, well, our shortstop, Tanner Giesel, he's from Southeastern Community College, which is a community college in Iowa. But he's going to Georgia College next year, which is D2 in Georgia, obviously. And he's from Illinois. And he's a very hard-nosed player. He's hit 3-4 or 5 for us. He's in the middle of the lineup, and he does a great job. He's not going to necessarily drive the ball out of the ballpark all the time.
Right.
But he's got serious gap-to-gap power, hit a lot of doubles and triples.
Good.
And plays really good defense. And then another Brigham Young guy, Wyatt Padgett, he swings it from the left side.
I've been following him a little bit statistically, yeah?
Yeah, he started a little slow. He's been making some adjustments with myself and other coaches with his swing, and things are starting to pay off for him. He had two hits last night, a double the night before. So he's starting to swing it a little bit, and he's got some serious power. So if he gets hot, you could look out for a lot of gaps and possibly a couple dingers. But in the outfield, Luis Silverio, well, we had Luis Silverio to start the season. He hit a home run in his first at bat this summer.
Nice.
And then a home run in his second game. And he got drafted by the White Sox in the 32nd round. So he left. And when he left, I brought his brother
Neat.
To Newark. No kid. Luis. So Luis plays center field
for us. He had any home runs?
He has 3 so far.
Oh, wow.
And he's got some serious tools. And this is a guy that will be drafted. So if people want to come out and see a player that is going to be a minor leaguer at least, that's what they look like. He's at Palm Beach State College in Florida. He was just a freshman. But he's got all the tools. He's a really exciting player to watch. He's obviously still learning, as they all are and as I am as well. But he can play, and he can flat-out run. I mean, I've seen him. He hit a routine ground ball to short and beat it out.
Wow.
So he can move.
Charlie Hustle, I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
And, you know, there's just so many guys that have helped us out to this point. I think the strength to this point has been the fact that we can almost plug anybody in and still get the job done. So
I don't think, for our viewers, again, Mike Armstrong, the coach of the Newark Pilots, and Brian Connell, general manager, joining us here on Weber this week. Good to have you with us. I don't think Mike and Brian, maybe you both can touch on it for a few seconds. The difficulty of baseball and emerging from Newark to another segment, the minor leagues, et cetera, to move your way up to the big leagues. I don't think anybody fathoms how difficult that is. I mean, the a million to one shot, I wouldn't say that, but I'm saying, Mike, with your experience, there are so many outstanding baseball players in this country and around the world, not just this country.
Oh, yeah.
Speak a little bit about how tough it is to get to where, you know, get to the big time. That is, I mean, that's a long journey, right?
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're somebody very unique and special, right?
Right. A Mike Trout type of
Bingo,
guy.
Bingo, Mike Trout.
But, yeah, I mean, it's
pretty amazing.
It's incredibly difficult. And the worst / best part about baseball,
right,
and this applies to the process of moving up through affiliated ball, is that sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Right.
So, you know, you might have one bad outing and the advanced scout is there to decide whether you're moving up to AA, and you get tagged as a pitcher and you stay in A longer, or you get hurt.
Right.
Man, the amount of people that go and, you know, they hurt their arm.
Sure.
Or you blow out a knee or something and you're done.
Right.
So it's incredibly difficult. And I think what the guys this summer have the opportunity to learn that I'm trying to impress upon them is that what we do here in Newark is as close as they're going to get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
And the most challenging aspect of that level is the grind.
Mm-hmm.
So the daily pounding your body takes, number one. Baseball's not a physical sport in the aspect of beating each other up.
But you play a lot of games.
It's very physical when you're running and swinging and sliding, throwing every day.
Every day.
You know, a lot of these guys don't do that.
Yep.
At college, you play maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a weekday game. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of baseball, but that's still 3-4 days off out of a week of 7.
Not in the other leagues.
Not here. So we play 14 games in 12 days coming up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to understand what you have to do in order to sleep and rest. And a lot of guys get in the minor leagues and they go out and they want to go out at night and enjoy their
can't do that.
Their, you know, new future, and that might be the end of them. Yeah. But there's a lot of guys that don't do that and have a run of bad luck, too.
And, Brian, you've watched it from your post as GM. Certainly you can recognize the kids that come into Newark that have a special dedication, that realize how difficult the task is at hand, and it's all business to play baseball.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we were talking about on the way over some of the guys who we're playing every single day. They're traveling and whatnot, but we still have – there's a handful of guys that every single day they're there for the early work with Mike. You know, Mike says anytime you want to come in early and get some extra swings in and stuff, and they're there. You know, they're understanding now what it's like to play every day, what it's like. We've had some injuries, you know, just because it's so much for them, but it's – it's what they need to learn, you know, what it's going to be like. So it's great for them.
And by the way, the major leagues with this instant replay review, I was not a proponent of it, but I got to say, I watched a few games, Jimmy. I kind of like it. I do kind of like it, and they're making those decisions quicker now.
Yeah.
I mean, some calls at first look like bang, bang, and they review the film, boom. And it took like 20 seconds the other night, a couple of plays I saw where the umpire went, I like it. So I have to say that I was against the idea, maybe, but it makes a wrong a right.
How do you feel about it, Mike, as a manager? You wish that you could go to the replay in some of these calls?
Maybe I get thrown out of a game. I don't know.
Yeah, I, you know, I wasn't a fan of replay either.
Yeah,
I'm still not to a point. I believe that the calls that are reviewable,
yep,
should stick to the only ones that can be black and white. Right. So fair foul, safer out at a base. You know, pickoffs and things like that. Maybe, but then they start getting into the gray area of baseball, and I think you got to just let that play because, you know, the perfect game league, the umpires are learning too. They're players, or they're just like the players.
Yeah.
They want to try and ump at the next level.
Sure.
And a lot of them do a really good job, and even the ones that do a good job, you're going to miss a call.
Yeah.
Just like I'm going to make a bad call.
Sure.
And I think I wish you could have it remedied to answer your question, but it just gets frustrating. That just adds to the grind.
Well, like the other night, the Red Sox Yankee game, Pedroia starts off with a gapper in left center, and Ellsbury came across for the Yankees, picked up the ball, threw it in the second. Pedroia was getting that extra base, trying to get the second. He slides. The Yankee announcers were saying he beat the tag. He slid away from the glove. Safe. Girardi comes out. And, of course, they review it, as you guys know, 58 times. And it looked like the glove caught Pedroia before his hand touched the bag. Reviewed it. 20 seconds later, you're out. You know, big point.
Yeah.
Leadoff hitter, double. Nope, you're on the bench. One out. So that's what kind of reminded me of talking about this morning. So I kind of like it. I mean, I think, you know, hey, in that case, hit him in the second base with nobody out.
Yeah.
Right now he's on the bench with a Gatorade. One out.
Which was the right call.
It was the right call.
I think that's it. If it's, you know, if it's right, then it's right. You know,
I kind of like it.
If they're wrong and you have the ability to make it right, then what are you
doing?
That's
right. Well, Brian, as we get ready to wrap it up, I'm going to go through your schedule in a couple seconds. But to say to our viewers, you want to come over and support Newark baseball. If they have like a group they want to come over, can they get a hold of your office and talk about, you know, like a group rate or some scenario, how that
definitely
works?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they can give us a call. They can shoot us an email,
right,
NewarkPilots@gmail.com, or give me a call, 315-576-6710.
Okay.
You know, either way, you know, and they want to bring a group over. We new this year, we have the Secor Lumber Party Deck have this year. So we can do birthday parties, group events, work events.
Beautiful.
You know, you want to do something nice for employees, you know, have them come out and watch some great baseball.
A day at the ballpark.
Exactly.
Well, it's a busy week. Let's hope and pray we get the game in tomorrow night, because this week Newark is very busy at home. Tomorrow night they entertain Albany. Again, the temperature is mid-90s. They're talking about some T-storms. Let's hope we can get those missing us. That, of course, 7:05 start time at Newark. Thursday, they entertain Utica. Friday, we're talking, let's play two on the 4th of July. Adirondack comes to Newark. Starts at 5:30, a doubleheader. Lots of baseball. And then Saturday,
fireworks on the 4th?
No.
On the 4th?
No.
Not the 4th. Okay. Then on Saturday, you entertain Mohawk. So you have a very busy week ahead of you.
Yep.
Let's hope the weatherman cooperates.
A lot of baseball. Got to love it.
That's right. Well, guys, Mike, thank you very much for coming in. I look forward to seeing getting over to check out some baseball, and keep up the good work. I know it's a long, arduous season, but I'm sure you'll do a fine job.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
All right. Well, Brian, I look forward to seeing you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Good luck, guys.
And listen, just a reminder, folks, World Cup. And by the way, before we go off there, Jimmy's got his SU color on there this morning. It looks a little orange. Maybe I'm colorblind. But now I got to ask you a question, Jimmy. You're a big SU fan. As we all know, Jimmy graduated from there. It only took him 2 years to get out of school. Brilliant individual. I want to know one thing about the NBA draft. Okay. Excuse me if I'm wrong, and I may be wrong. But I recall following Syracuse basketball under the tutelage of Jim Boeheim, C.J. Fair was Mr. Can't Miss. Went the 4 years. Sure, first-round pick, in my opinion. I heard it from a lot of people. All of a sudden, this kid comes into play for Syracuse, named Ennis, outstanding freshman. After a year, says, see ya. And then we got a kid named Jeremy Grant, who's an outstanding player. But I was always under the opinion from the media in the Syracuse market and from Jimbo and all the SU fans that this Fair kid was a no-miss. They hold the draft. Ennis goes 18th, first round. Jeremy Grant goes 39th. What, second round, Jimbo? Second, 38th.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, CJ's waiting for the phone to ring. What happened, Jimbo? Am I missing something?
No, I mean, I don't
wasn't Fair expected to be drafted?
He was during the season, but what happens is they do all these mock drafts. Oh, they said Ennis was going to be 8, Grant was going to be 12, okay. And they go pro. But then when they get work them out, they realize that Jeremy Grant's 38, and it's all hype. And if it wasn't for the hype, Jeremy Grant would be back this year because he didn't want to go 38th. They were telling him he was going to go 14th.
Were you shell-shocked that Fair did not get drafted?
No, I was hoping that he'd get picked up late second round, but by the time you get to you get to the actual draft, they got a pretty down to a pretty good science.
Amazing.
Because they've all worked out these guys. And, and it's
just, I don't know. I just led to believe that he was the best of the three.
Sure, because the idiots who post the mock drafts all winter long, they don't know what they're talking about. They see Jeremy Grant, you know, be a sports spender top 10 play two times in a week, and they say he's going to be a lottery pick. And he should be at Syracuse this year.
All right. Well, I was stunned. I mean, I was watching some of that draft. You guys probably did too. And I'm thinking, what happened to Fair? Then I find out the next morning he never got a call. He joined the Dallas Mavericks Summer League. He got signed. It just blew me away. I just assumed, Jimmy, that he was going to get drafted. And
it's too bad. I wish he did. Yeah. But, you know, he's got holes in his game. He's a great college player.
You know, and Ennis, obviously, drafted 18th, first round, some guaranteed money, which means if you're in the first round, you get guaranteed money. Other than that, you do not. So it's just a matter, as Mike talked about the baseball, you either make it or you don't. And that's a tough game, too, baby.
Oh, yeah.
The NBA. It's tough. Well, listen, folks, next week we have a special guest coming via phone, Jim Eichelhofer. Used to write for the Finger Lakes Times years ago. I remember reading his stuff, sports guy. Now he is working, he's been working several years for the New Orleans NBA entry, the New Orleans Pelicans. They changed their name again. He will join us via phone next Monday on the Weber Show, so we're looking forward to having Jim give us a little overview of the draft, his views of what New Orleans brought into their franchise, and also some comments about some of the big names that got drafted early in that first round. Should be interesting, and of course, we'll have to wait and see, but Jim Eichelhofer will be joining us via phone from New Orleans next Monday here on Weber This Week. Again, thanks to Mike Armstrong and Brian Connell for joining us. Guys, look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
All right, take care, everybody. You just stay cool out there, baby. Get that air conditioner right above your head tomorrow about 7 o'clock in the morning because you're going to need it. Take care, everybody. We'll catch you next week for another edition of Weber This Week, My Way.
FingerLakes1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1. FingerLakes1.com.